So take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We will conclude our study in Ephesians. And if, unless the Lord changes my mind, we're going to be starting 1 Timothy next week. Okay. Last week we talked about walking by principle. And we looked at the first 9 verses in Ephesians chapter 6. And the truth was is that what we learn now, we will live later. And there were 3 things that we needed to look at. First of all, we need to learn when we are a child. It starts by us being obedient. If we're not obedient to our parents when we were growing up, we wouldn't be obedient to anybody else. And that is a right action. And those lessons in obedience will build faith. Sometimes we just have to obey, not knowing what the outcome is going to be. But that's how God wants us to live. He wants us to live by faith. It's supported by respect that we're supposed to honor our fathers and mothers, because that's the first commandment with promise. It was important to God because it was one of the 10 commandments. And it was the first of the interpersonal ones. It's important, and if it's important to God, it should be important to us.
Amen.
If God says something and we don't follow it, then it's really not important to us. But we need to make it important to us for our future, that you may live long on the earth. Because if you live a bad lifestyle, bad things will happen.
Yes. Amen.
And then thirdly, it will sustain in life. God wants us to have joy unspeakable. He wants us to have life abundant. And that's prosperity. And that's what he promised to Joshua if he stayed in God's word. And then we'll prolong life. So we learn by these principles as a child, which means parents, we need to teach them. Okay? So we need to lead when a parent. We need to give our homes and our children a chance to learn. We need to put an environment that's God-honoring. We need to give them instruction. That's what Moses was told by the Lord to send to the people, that they were going to be on the doorpost, they were going to be frontlets, you're going to speak to them in the morning, speak to them in the day, speak to them in the evening, and give people direction. Because we need to walk by faith again. And so we need to lead when a parent. And then we need to listen, labor, when a worker. We need to work with intent. Intent to get the work done, not to look good. With humility and with heart. We need to put our heart into all that we do and do all things heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. We need to have integrity. Boy, we need that today. Why don't we make a difference and be the examples that the world wants? Okay? We need to live honestly. We need to be helpful. And we need to have hope. And then we need to labor with insight. Basically, follow Christ's example and follow Christ's expectation, because he expects us to be the best. He expects us to be the best employee. He expects us to be the best child. He expects us to be the best parent. He expects us to be the best student. So we need to learn to live, learn to lead, and learn to labor. So tonight, as we start in verse 10, we're going to talk about walking in God. And the point here is that walking in God is winning with God. Walking in God is winning with God. Now, this is a very familiar passage. It talks about spiritual warfare. And there's 3 things here that we need to understand. In verses 10 through 13, there is an action to take. In verse 10, we have a request. And that request is to be strong in the Lord. It says, "Finally, my brethren." So Paul's talked about our position in Christ. He's talked about doctrines. He's talked about relationships. And as he closes this book out, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Going back to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 9, which is the following verse after making things prosperous. He says you can be prosperous and successful. He says here, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Finally, my brethren, be strong, what? In the Lord. My help cometh from God. My strength cometh from God. The power that I live in now, I live by the power. The life that I live now, I live by the power of God. And so the action to take is to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. In verse 11, we see the requirements to be equipped. God never asks us to do something unless he gives us the ability to do it. And in verse 11 it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." There's several things that we need to understand in this verse. The first thing is an action on our part we have to put on. Okay? Who do we put on? We put on Jesus. Okay? We put on the whole armor of God. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it says this, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." If you put on Christ and you fill your life with him, there should be no room for anything else. You will go to the right places at the right time with the right people and do the right thing. And that's the action that we need to take. What we need to do is what Paul writes to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, and what? Be strong." Okay? So we be able to stand. There's too many people running away today. So we need to put on. You know, people like to take shortcuts. Let's see what's the least amount I can get away with and still be successful. God wants us to be all in. He wants us to put on, and he wants us to put on every piece of the armor. Every piece. He says, the whole armor of God. I found that when you don't put all the pieces, all the screws back in, things don't work. They fall apart. They can't stand up. They have no strength. We need to put in the whole, we need to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "And ye are what? Complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the third thing here is it gives us the ability to stand. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says this, "I can do how much? All things through Christ which strengtheneth me." In John chapter 15, verse 7, it says, without God, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. So we need to put on every piece of the armor. So the request is to be strong. The requirements is to be equipped. Thirdly, there is reason and there is opposition. Christ told his disciples before he went to the cross. He says, "In this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world," because there is a spiritual warfare going on. In verse 12 it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." See, the issue is that we're too We try too much to treat the symptoms instead of the root cause. Okay? When you get a cold, there's no magic pill that gets rid of the cold. You take NyQuil or you take something, and what does that do? That gets rid of some of the symptoms, or it lessens the symptoms, so your body can fight this off. The issue is, the fight is from within. And we need to be equipped within by God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that's on the outside, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And all you have to do is turn on the TV and see that Satan is behind this. Okay? Taking away innocent life and promoting abortion. That's against God's word. Not accepting God's creation and how he made people. Said, I want to be something else. And we have people say, well, that's okay. And we'll make it happen. That's wrestling against the truth. Yeah. And that's sin. Yeah. That's sin. Homosexuality is a sin. Yeah. All this stuff is a sin. And people say that it's okay. It's not okay. Right. It's something that we're fighting. And Daniel gives us an insight of spiritual warfare. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel gets a vision of God, gets a vision of the end times. And he prays to God to understand. And for 21 days, Gabriel is fighting a spiritual warfare with the prince of Persia that no one sees. But Daniel keeps on praying. And earlier in the chapter, he says, from the time that he started to pray, I was sent. But it's taken me 3 weeks to get here. You don't see it, but it's going on behind the scenes. And in verse 20 of Daniel chapter 10, he says, then said he being Gabriel, he says, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I what? Return to do what? To fight with the prince of Persia. Ah. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia will come. And all those kingdoms had Satan behind it. Remember what was one of the temptations of Christ? Satan put Christ on a tall mountain. And he says, all these kingdoms I'll give to you if you will come down and worship me. How could Satan say that? Because he's got powers working in every one of them. And as we've been studying in Revelation, and also in 2 Thessalonians, we are a restraining influence. The Holy Spirit working through us is the restraining influence. And if we don't start doing spiritual warfare, we're going to keep on losing ground.
Right.
We're going to keep on losing ground. So, we see the request to be strong. We see the requirements to be equipped. And only God can equip you to fight this battle. Thirdly, we see the reason. Because there's opposition and there's spiritual warfare going on. But you know something? The result will be victory.
Yeah.
If we sell out to God and we allow God to control and we walk in God, we will get victory. In verse 13 it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. So he starts in the beginning with what? Put on the whole armor of God. And he says, okay, and here's the reason why, because of spiritual warfare. Wherefore, or therefore, you need this. Folks, we need this tonight. The world needs this tonight. You know, even tonight, there's a parade downtown. Worship you, the dead. Even tonight, this warfare goes on. It goes on. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day, and having done what? All to stand. Now, there's several things in here. If you take on the whole armor of God, you can't fight. You're going to get wounded. You're going to get taken out. And oh, by the way, if you don't do all, you won't be able to stand. Okay? But if you do these things, you'll be able to withstand in the evil day. Christ was telling about following his word. And he gives the parable of the foolish man and the wise man. And the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house on the sand, and they both encountered the same trials. Okay? But in Luke chapter 6, verses 47 and 48, it says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it." We're not supposed to be soon shaken in mind, but stand for God, okay? Because it was founded upon the rock. We need to stand and do all to stand and have the whole armor of God to stand and be able to understand that there is spiritual wickedness out there. And we are fighting a spiritual battle. And so that is the action that we have to take. We're in a fight. And we're in a fight for men's souls. We're in a fight for right. So there's the action to take. Verses 14 through 17, there's the armor to wear. There's the armor to wear. Now, I'm not going to go through the pieces. We'll go through the pieces, but just read them. Let's talk about what the pieces allow us to do. It allows us to do this fight. First of all, in verse 14, it allows us to stand. He's already said that you may be what? Able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And now it starts making a lot more sense. In verse 14, it says, stand how? Stand therefore, and there's two things in order that we need in our lives the word stand. First of all, we have to stand for the truth. And the truth has got to be in us. The reason the Pharisees couldn't stand is because the truth was not in them. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with what? Truth. Christ came, and he was full of grace and truth. Pilate was saying, "I have the power to crucify you." Jesus says, "You have no power at all unless it was given to you by my Father. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Do you hear God's voice tonight? And then Pilate says his famous line, "What is truth?" The issue is, we need to know truth, which means we need to read God's word, we need to pray, we need not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, we need to encourage one another, and we need to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This girdle means to buckle everything on. And the girdle is the thing that holds all the pieces of armor together. If you don't have truth in your life, you have nothing. If you don't have truth in your life, you don't have Christ. Because he is truth. Okay? Sanctifying by thy word is what? Truth. In John 17:17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by what? By him, as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus is the truth for all of us. And there's no disputing that at all. So we need to stand having our loins girt about with truth and then having on the breastplate of righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. And Paul is telling the Corinthian church, he says, this is how we're ministering. Even in the place of all the spiritual wickedness and all the wrestling of and spiritual warfare, this is how we're doing it. And we don't guard our heart. If our heart's not righteous, we can't stand. Our heart's got to be in it. So having truth and righteousness in our life allows you to stand. If you have the right piece of armor, then it allows you to step out. In verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In Romans chapter 10, verse 15, it says, and how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. It doesn't matter how much toe fungus you have. Your feet are beautiful when you share the gospel.
Amen.
Because that means that you're going forth. That means you're going forward instead of standing still or going backward. And you're doing what God has called us to do. So the armor to wear allows us to stand. We have all of it. It allows us to step out and spread the gospel. The next piece allows you to stop the advance of the enemy. In verse 16, it says, above all, he says, if that's not enough, you really need this. And you know what we need today, besides truth in our church, behind righteousness in our church? We need faith. We need faith. For the just shall live by faith. For without faith it is impossible to please him. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I don't know about you, but this has been a challenging week for me. There's been this problem, and this problem, and this problem, and this problem, and this little attack, and this little attack. But you know something? Faith in God can quench them all. I don't fear what man can do to me. I don't fear him. I need to fear God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Let's go back and repeat this again. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. To say, I can't win this spiritual battle, is denying Scripture. To say that I can't win this battle is I don't have the faith to believe that God's Word is true so I can stand. That's what it means. Okay? For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, and that's the shield. You know, it's better than all those sci-fi deflector screens and everything else that you see out there. It's able to stop the advance of the enemy. And you've seen the Roman movies and all this stuff, you know. One of the things that the Romans did when they marched, they went into battle, is they made this cohort thing. The Greeks started it. And they had guys in the front with their shields locked together. Guys in the back with shields behind them. And then they had their shields locked together over top of them. Nothing could get through. One person took their shield away. Now the whole column is up gone. And that's what's happening in churches today. People are lowering their shield and allowing Satan to come in and get a stronghold in the body of Christ. And so it allows you to stop the advance of the enemy because you can just turtle right on through there and just trample everything down. The armor to wear allows you to succeed. In verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but let us who are of the day, so we're walking in the light, okay, be wise, sober, be thoughtful, understand, walk circumspectly, look around, think of what's happening here. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. You know, the helmet protects the head, and we're supposed to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the Word of God protect your mind. You know, in the Old Testament, it said, put the Word as frontlets to your eyes. Wherever you're looking at the Word of God. That wouldn't be a bad practice for us. In a figurative sense. We need to shield our brains and our kids' brains with the Word of God. The world's not going to do it. The world says they want to protect your kids. No, they want to control your kids. God needs to control the kids. God needs to control the parents. God needs to control the families. First John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the what? Spirit. Because he's greater than anything in the world. Okay? And the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So, we see the armor to wear. It allows you to stand. It allows you to step out and do what God wants you to do and go forward. It allows you to stop the advance of the enemy, and it allows you to succeed. So then let's close this chapter out and the book. There's the asking that we need to make. Who do we need to ask? God. Okay? Verses 18 and 19, what do we need to ask for? Well, we need to ask for boldness or courage. Courage that perseveres. Okay? And verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says this, continue in prayer. 1 Thessalonians said, pray without ceasing, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us what? Watch and be sober. The common word in all these things is that we need to watch in prayer. We need to watch out so we can pray correctly. And then we need to watch for the answer. We need to watch for the God who gives the answer. We need boldness in prayer that will persevere. We need boldness in prayer that proclaims. Verse 19, Paul asked a specific request for him. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe it's in verse 8, talks about, he says, woe is me, necessity is laid upon me if I don't preach the gospel. Paul was consumed with this. It didn't matter if it was in prison, or he was in an amphitheater, or he was in a synagogue, or he's by a riverbank, or he's just walking down the road, or people were yelling behind him. He's preaching the gospel. He had boldness to do this. You know why? Because Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
Amen.
So Paul asked for prayer. He said, we need to pray for all the saints. And we need to persevere in praying for all the saints. And we need to make supplication for all the saints. That's asking for what they need, not for what I need. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? And we need to watch. We need to watch. I'm sure that Daniel, when he was praying, trying to figure out what this vision was, he was watching. And God delivered. And God delivered. So he's praying for boldness. He's praying for brotherhood. In verses 21 and 22, it says, but that ye may also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. You know, it's hard not knowing, right? It's hard. It drives us nuts. Okay? Paul understood that the church at Ephesus was concerned about him. And he wanted to let them know. He says, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose. What? To tell what's going on here, that ye may know our affairs. And what's the last part of it? And that ye might comfort your hearts. You know, too many people say, I wonder what's going on in their life. Well, I got a question for you. Do you pray for it? Do you ask about it? Do you even care? That's the point. That's the point. We need to pray and ask for brotherhood. So we need to ask for boldness. We need to ask for brotherhood. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says there, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. It's expected of us to do this. Lastly, the asking to make is for blessing. In verses 23 and 24, it says, peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in what? Sincerity. Amen. You know something? God is the God of all peace.
Yeah.
Christ told his disciples before he went to the cross, he says, peace I leave with you, not peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's the God of all peace. He's the God of all love. Here in his love, not that we first loved God, but that he first loved us and gave himself to be the payment for our sins. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It comes from God. As Paul ends this letter, he ends it with the same thing way he begins it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says this. He says, as he introduces the letter, he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Folks, our life needs to begin with God. It needs to end with God. Our jobs need to begin with God and end with God. Our families need to begin with God and end with God. All of our relationships should be beginning in God and ending in God. What we do in this church, it begins with God and it ends with God. Everything. And Paul puts this in perspective in the end. And he wants the best for them. God wants the best for us. And what we need to do is we need to walk in victory. But you can't walk in victory unless you're walking in God. Because we will win with him. Amen? Do you know him as your Savior? If you don't know we're going to spend eternity, here's a great opportunity tonight. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for mankind's sin, was buried the third day, rose again, and ascended into heaven. He has power to give life over death. He has power to forgive sins. And he just asked for those just to come to him and say, Father, forgive me, for I've sinned against you. I thank you for your Son who died on the cross for me. I believe he did this for me. Cleanse me from my sin and help me to follow you as my Savior. And that's what you need to do. For us, are we walking in victory if you know Christ? Tonight, let's make sure that we walk out of here in victory. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask that you with this time of invitation, Father, just search our hearts and help us, Lord, to walk in victory. Someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night of their salvation, that they would say a simple prayer and receive you into their life and have eternity settled. Lord, for us, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to put on all the armor, all every day from this point forward, and to walk in victory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.